This is the Uncle Phil Talk Show. You're listening to Mr. Mad's Diamond Feet. The Uncle Phil Talk Show.
Real talk.
Don't let the deter you from your vision. It's your vision that's the one.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
You ready?
No, I got it.
You know what? People like realness. They can speak through when anybody is not being themselves.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
Use your platform wisely because it's going to be a reflection of who you are and those around you.
It's unapologetic. I can only speak from my own experience. I can't speak from anybody else's.
This is the Unconcealed Talk Show.
They're going to remember how you came in and how you left. A lot of times that applies to regular life and business.
The Unconcealed Talk Show.
From a real life perspective. And it won't just be you. And either people won't like it or they won't. And even the people that don't like it are still going to check it out. Because I'm telling you, after people that follow me, they don't really like my ass. But that's okay. Keep following with me. You know.
You're listening to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Mads and Diamond D.
Yes, yes. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however, whatever. We want to welcome everyone here to the Unconcealed Talk Show. Yours truly, Mr. Nass, and the one and only Miss Diamond D in the building. What's going on, Miss Diamond?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Happy Lover's Day. It's Valentine's Day.
That's right.
That's right.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You didn't get your wife anything for Valentine's Day? Why am I getting, I forgot, it's Valentine's Day vibes from you.
No. I didn't forget. I didn't forget it. Though. It's just that we don't look at celebrating it traditionally. Just look at celebrate every day. That's important for me every day. I don't need a holiday. Every day. Yeah, I said it. And that's fine. No, and that's fine. To each his own. To each his own, damn it. If you want to have a day, on a calendar to make sure you love somebody more than you should every day, so be it. To each his own.
Right.
Me personally, I just every day I'm blessed to get up. Every day I'm blessed to have family, and every day I'm just blessed.
Oh.
So that's me.
Back to my point. Did you get your wife something for Valentine's Day? I know I did. You?
I just gave you the answer. I just gave you.
No,
the answer.
You did not. But you didn't. But you love her every day, and that's cool, too. I'm just saying, I like a little extra love on Valentine's Day. You know, I like a little extra treat. It doesn't have to be diamonds and all of that. Just a little bit something extra than the everyday love. I love holidays. That's just me. But that's my love language, right? I love to celebrate. And it doesn't have to be something extravagant, but yes, we should love each other every day, and I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I 100% knew you were going to say, oh, but we love every day. I knew all of that.
You
but
know
I
what?
I think you should
I
run down to your local Wawa, 7-Eleven,
Wawa.
And get
I'm not buying no Wawa.
Because,
I'm not.
Well, it's late Wawa. Now. It's late now, Mr. Nass. Valentine's Day is here. Go and grab the last few single wrapped roses. You know, and throw a submarine sandwich in there or something with it and give it to your wife with a bow on it. She's going to appreciate it, even though you love her every day. A little something extra, even though you didn't take my advice. That's Diamond's advice. Fellas, if you're listening today or, you know, for next year, just do something a little. We know that you and every women are going to say, I don't need Valentine's Day. Show me love. Love me every day. But come on, ladies. We all want a little something extra special sometimes when everybody else is getting it. We do. We just do. You know, like I normally get flowers to the office or 1 year I got this cupcake bouquet. Oh, my God. I ate almost all the cupcakes and I haven't lost that weight yet. But it's special, but we're not in the office now, guys, so you don't have to impress the coworkers or anything. So a little something from Wawa's is nice. How y'all doing? What's up, Dad?
Well, a very exclusive breakfast in bed. Breakfast, that's all right. Breakfast in bed.
So you have breakfast in bed?
The lunch. I do all the cooking. I make a seafood and steak dinner. I do all that.
He went from somehow. I'm not buying your story. I'm not. It sounds amazing, but you went from "nah, I love every day" to now you making breakfast, brunch, and dinner. And that I don't. I want the proof.
But that's frequent. But that's frequent. So therefore, again, it goes to every day.
Help me.
Day.
Help.
But
me.
Again,
today?
You know what? Listen, can we go on with the show?
We want a very simple... Oh, sorry. Hey, everybody. Sorry. Okay, we digress.
So,
what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Unconcealed Talk Show.
There we go. Awesome. So how was your week?
Oh, my week... My week was it was pleasant. It was just a week, actually. It was busy as usual, and I was reading something this morning that said the fear of missing out versus the joy of missing out. And a lot of us who were very busy people and nosy people and social people, we have a fear of missing out, and then we become overworked and overwhelmed and stressed. So we need to find joy in missing out. So I'm trying to find the joy of missing out and rebalance my life so that I'm not so stressed out. So I was just reflecting on the week. And this week, I did find joy in missing out on some things, but I have to find out what I want to miss, what I will allow myself to miss out on so that I can be more balanced. So that was my week. It's just missing out or figuring out how to do all of this. I'm doing a lot. I'm just trying to balance it. That's all. What about you?
You know, this week I dedicated to maintaining peace, you know, mental peace, spiritual peace, while handling my everyday duties as far as work, business, trying to, you know, like yourself, with the balance. But for me, I needed peace with that because I need my mind to help control my physical actions. And what I mean by that, for those listening, it's part of the mental wellness. You know, we all dealing with COVID situation, we deal with the anxieties aspect of it, we're taking care of family, we're still trying to balance work, relationships, and you know, we have to maintain some level of peace. And that's what I kind of got this week, just kind of maintaining that good mental balance I can handle my business and be there for my loved ones and be there for people, be there here for the show and business. And That was my week. I was really focused on my mental aspect this week. I was really focused on that. Honest to God, that was my week. So that's my little tidbit there. Focus, yeah. Key word, focus.
You just told me to focus, but where and how? Is it a morning routine? Give some advice, not advice, but give a tip. Like, where do you find time?
Absolutely.
You just told us that you were busy. So where do you find time
Absolutely.
To focus?
Absolutely. That's actually an excellent question. You know, for me, this is just for me, but some people have their own pattern. All right, how about this? I explain some of my process, and if it helps someone, and if it fits, so be it. In the morning, first thing I do, I take a deep breath, you know, and I immediately give thanks. Give thanks to God, give thanks to family, you know. I go to what I call my war room. I have a war room, you know, those who've seen the movie, a war room, for some people, it's an area, closet, a space in their home or wherever that they pray and they kind of get reconnected and ask to go for stuff that they need to go for their life to make themselves better. For me, it's not just my area where I work out at, also I pray at. So I ask for blessings and pray upon my family, pray upon my loved ones, pray upon my friends, pray upon the business, I pray upon our world, our community, and I take that deep breath, and I go into my workouts. You know, I start my workouts, I have a regime, and as I do my workouts, and I do that because it allows me a mental peace place to clear my mind, be grateful where I need to go, where I need to be. Then I attack the physical part because without the mind, the body won't follow, so I need to take care of what God has given me. And I need to make sure that's intact and, you know, pray for best health. Because at the end of the day, that's how my day starts. Literally almost every day throughout Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday. But that's what I do. And I hope that everybody that's listening to the show, you can have some type of process when you wake up in the morning. Have some type of process to get your day started. Because if you don't have something to give you peace in what you need to do, you won't have peace at the end of the day because you're still fumbling, bumbling, and not understand, well, what the hell did I do wrong? So that's my tidbit. Hopefully it helps somebody.
Oh, yeah, I think it did. I think it was beneficial. And I asked for clarification because I just want to not just be surface, and we're going to be as transparent as we always been, maybe even a little more, right? So I'm
yes.
Pardon me, but I'm going to bring that out of you. I'm a sharer, everybody. I share. If you know Diamond, you know my life. If you don't know me and you're listening, you will get to know my life. I'm a total sharer. Naz is not as much as a personal sharer.
Really?
You're going to get to know both of us through the Unconcealed Talk Show as we move forward. And he just learned that. This is unrehearsed. So he's just learning that I will be bringing more of him and letting you know who he is, because he's a magnificent black man that is very intelligent, very engaged in the community, and has kind of got it going on in his personal life as well, including waking up and focusing on his mind, body, and spirit. So that's Mr. Naz. I'm pleased to introduce you to him. You love
thank
it, don't you?
Thank you. No,
you're
I do.
Welcome.
I mean, I believe, honest to God, I'm not trying to go preachy or anything like that, but I believe that there's always blessings that come upon. And when you said the level of transparency, you know, before we kind of get into the topic of the show, but I just think it's a perfect segue, because that was actually part of my goals as of, I guess, I would have to say, coming into the new year, becoming more transparent, being more transparent. It's not necessarily calling you weak, and I know people, I want to let people know my business. Nah, you know, I get it. I am at fault for that at times, and for a lot of times. There's times when you're transparent, and there's times you shouldn't be, but to help people, and in the platform that we use, we have to provide some level of transparency. And
that's right.
That was actually one of my top goals. See, again, this is unrehearsed. Me and Diamond didn't discuss this, but this is something that I made it a goal of mine. I know I'm very protected. I'm very guarded at times. And of course, you know, for my job that I do, there's certain things I have to be guarded, confidentiality. But transparency, when you have a level of responsibility and platform, when you're talking to people, helping people, providing empowerment, providing entertainment, you got to be transparent, because, you know, what we do, we are public figures, you know, and what we do here on the Unconcealed Show. We are, you know, you have your following, I have my following, and we have to, and like you said, people, we are at a time now, people lean or look to people for guidance or maybe some motivation or some help. And if what I can do or what you do can help them or even something, we have to be transparent about who we are as individuals. You know, my professor always said, you know, we was writing our annotated bibliographies, that when you're writing it out, you write about the source, you write about the author, and give your evaluation about the author. And I just looked at that and I said, oh, he wants transparency about the author to give it credibility. Again, this goes to exactly what Diamond was saying. We're giving credibility to the people that you listen to. We're giving credibility to who we are, so you can be, oh, okay, I see where they are. I know where they're coming from. They come from a credible place. These people are not just rambling, not just average Joes. They're beyond. They own in that greatness. They're bringing it to our listeners. And, you know, Diamond, I want to say this about Diamond, guys. Diamond, you know, she's gave me, you know, I'm not doing it because she did it for me. I'm doing it because this is the person who she is. You know, Diamond has her own level of quietness herself. So, you know, let's not make the mistake about that, you know. But she comes from a very honest place. She comes from an honest place. And she comes from the hip. When I say come from the hip, she comes straight up. She will tell you what it is and how it should be.
Yes.
It's not making her the scholar. She knows everything. She just comes from an honest place. And I think in society, we need more people to be like that. It doesn't necessarily say it's a bad thing. And she'll tell you all day long, you know, you don't have to agree with me. Hell, you don't even have to like me. But I'm coming to you because
I
care.
Every day.
Yeah. Right. Exactly, because I care. And, you know, if we have more people like that that can tell you something, you may feel uncomfortable about it, but we have people like Diamond, myself, and maybe somebody in your own family or people around you, even at your job. Well, I mean, that's a job. That's a whole other conversation, because some people have alternative motives, but that's another conversation. But when you have somebody that you entrust, that you talk to, you listen to, you follow, know about that person. If that person gives you some honest thing, not saying you have to agree with her, agree with us, but at least give it the benefit of the doubt, investigate it, look at it, and understand where the source is coming from. So
right.
I salute Diamond
That's
for
all.
The transparency, for what she's
oh,
done. And I appreciate the honesty and just being an awesome person. And that's what we need in this world, y'all. Real talk.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah, we do. We do. And I appreciate you, right? So this is like, how long are they going to appreciate each other? We appreciate each other.
No,
I appreciate
the audience. It's okay. You know
right?
What?
Like, all right.
It's okay. You know what? Tell them.
We're not apologizing.
Like,
it's unapologetic.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
you know.
We just have to. We gotta recognize what we're blessed with in life, our families, and the people that we work with. And sometimes we get so damn busy, we don't take the time to say that. Because tomorrow ain't promised to none of our asses. It's just not promised.
Don't tell
so we
me
have
about
to
it.
Understand
tell me
that.
About it.
We just can't. I mean, and I want to be transparent about that.
That's cool. Yeah, and that's what we are, unapologetically transparent. What are we talking about this week, though? Because you sent me this long agenda, this long program, and I got a little bit overwhelmed. So
it's okay. It's you know what? This is that conversation, and this is that therapy couch for you. If you're just tuning in, if it's just that, you know what? It's time to get some therapy, and that's what we're going to bring to you guys here on therapy. The topic today is, you know, having a healthy relationship or kind of address the relationship during this COVID time. And especially, I think it's really, it goes in line with the Valentine's the theme and the relationships. I think that's perfect. But before we get into it, we're in Black History, Black History Month, straight up. We're in Black History Month, and we want to acknowledge all those of the past, all those of the present, and the awesome future that we have with a lot of our young people right now. We have a lot of young people who's phenomenal. Amanda Gorman, young lady that spoke at the inauguration. She's phenomenal. I see some bright future in a lot of our young black people in this country. And I'm inspired. And I just want to make sure that we are doing our part to support them, you know, because they're becoming empowered, they're becoming intelligent. And maybe there's hope here. And I'm feeling good about it. But I want to kind of just chime in about the past. Give our little past, because that's one thing we did last season. We addressed, you know, Black History from the past and the present. I'm going to try to go through this real fast. Let me see what we got here. I'm going to talk about the first Black radio show, first Black radio station, per se. Okay, it kind of goes back to 1929. There was a show called the All Negro Hour. It was an American broadcast. In 1929, the All Negro Hour. But however, during that show, there was shows like Balua and Amos Andy. They wanted to change that. People like Duke Ellington and Paul Robinson, they wanted to change that. They wanted to change that stereotype. So time, you know, moved on. This station moved on from there. The show shut down. The host of the show at the time was Jack Cooper. So he said, you know what? We can do more. So he decided to go on to host and produce a black-oriented program for WSBC, such as Searching for Missing People. The series launched in 1938. And what it did was it reunited black migrants from the South with lost friends and relatives. But again, the show, he wanted to go higher from there. In 1949, there was a show on a station, WDIA, in Memphis, Tennessee, became the first to employ all black on-air announcing staff later that year. Now, this is where the first black radio station came in at. Later that year, WERD in Atlanta, that's why you get to Atlanta, they call it the black capital, was the first black-owned radio station. That came out around that time in 1949. And they became, you know, one of the top black radio stations for a very long time. Now, I wanted to speed it up today. However, there's a young lady, and a lot of you people don't understand this. Her name is Kathy Hughes. She's the CEO of Radio One. She's an African-American woman. She owns the seventh largest radio broadcasting company in this country today. That's how far we've come, and that's how strong we are. Radio One also owns TV One. Check out your cable. And this woman is in charge of the seventh largest one. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the black radio, but there's a history there. And it's people understanding that we have a voice, understanding the talent, the music, the politics, the whole aspect of it. This is a phenomenal journalist and radio personalities out there, and I salute every single one of them. So that's my past moment on black history as far as black radio.
Awesome, amazing. Go and check out the first black radio station and learn more details about it. Follow us on Unconcealed Talk Show on Facebook. The link is there to give you a little bit more history on the first black radio station. Shout out to the ATL.
That's
so,
right.
You know, history,
that's right.
History continues, and black people are forever making history. History doesn't stop. We're history makers by nature. And recently, so you already know, For Women by Women, that's my passion in supporting and highlighting the greatness of black women in America. And recently, last week actually, Dr. Sonia Eden, she made history in Detroit by becoming the first black woman to lead the adult sector of neurosurgery. So at the Detroit Medical Center, Dr. Sonia Eden works at the DMC Harper University Hospital, and she's accomplished several firsts in the medical field. After working in a private practice in Kalamazoo for the past 12 years, Dr. Eden says it feels good to be back home in Detroit. And that's what we talk about, right? Going back home and helping. So this moved me to see this incredible woman, a neurosurgeon, go back home to help her community and then be promoted to the head of the neurosurgery department. It's no secret. There are few minorities in the medical field, but when it comes to neurosurgeons, that number is almost non-existent. About 8% of neurosurgeons are women, only 8%. And of those 8%, of that 8%, only 33% are African. Only 33 of them, period, are African American. So that means that the African American woman makes up 0.5% of neurosurgeons in this country. So this is a big deal that Dr. Eden is the head of this department in Detroit. Her journey began when she was just 4 years old. So remember, instilled early in our youth, right? When she was 4 years old, she used to perform pretend brain surgeries on her mother when she had migraines. Since then, she had the honor of reaching several first milestones in Michigan and beyond. Dr. Eden was the first African-American woman trained in neurological surgery to do a residency. She was the first medical engineering woman of color at Yale. And now she's the first woman of color to be the leader in the adult sector of DMC's neurosurgery department. Still in Detroit, she wants her role at the hospital to go beyond that. She wants to show every little girl out there that you can be whatever you want to be. Just set your mind forward, work hard, and you can do it. Those are the words of Dr. Eden. So we salute current history still being made by African Americans.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about. History, acknowledging, embracing it, and just empowering. You know, guys, you know, it's black history is not just black history. It's American history. Our history, people of color, black people, we built this daggone country. We built on the back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not how, of course, we want it. We built this country, you know, and I salute all the past, because without you, we couldn't be who we are. We couldn't be where we stand. So we stand on greatness. We stand on history. We stand on the shadows and in the shadows of greatness. And we all we can do is help be an inspiration and be that strong shadow for the future. So again, we salute Black history, we salute American history, we salute all those past, present, and future. We love you all. Real talk. Seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit, next time we get together, I want to talk a little bit about why, though, are our counterparts, because you just said you salute all history, right? American history. And that's great, because we are American history. But as you, as we celebrate Black history, there is American history that we're not included in, and our counterparts, our white people, people of other colors, other races, aren't interested in learning our history. So how can we educate? How can we get them to share more in Black History Month? That's not for today, but I want you all listening to think about it. We're sharing our history, and if we don't share it, no one else will. But how can we get our Caucasian friends, our white friends, our Indian friends, whatever it is, to share a little bit in learning about our history and how impactful we are on this nation? So just write that down, Nez. I want to talk about that the next time we get together.
Definitely, definitely. Okay. That's something we're going to definitely address. Now, the topic, this is where we're going to get into it. With those, you know, I thought about the relationship topic when we come up with our topics, because I know that Diamond, that's a passionate place for her. You know, so I'm going to lean to her on this show, guys. You know, and I say, guys, that's listening to the show and was downloading the show, again, we appreciate, salute to iHeartRadio and Spotify, and of course, Rebirth Radio, PR Media, for helping and also supporting us and, you know, any shows out there. I say lean to Diamond, not saying put everything in her lap, but we as men have to share dialogue, communication with our women. You know, with our spouses, you know, you got to get their input. It's not just a one-sided thing in any relationship, and especially during trials and tribulations. So as I segue into this topic, how do we maintain a healthy relationship during a COVID pandemic or during a trying time? I believe it could be a wide spectrum on how we talk about this topic, because at the end of the day, we're all faced with some type of trials and tribulations in our relationships. We all faced with situations that's out of our control, but how do you deal with it as a couple, or even if you're maybe not even in the relationship? So again, this is definitely can go whole bunch of ways. So I regress and I send it over to you, Diamond. I mean, I guess, how would you approach that? What's the first thing that comes to your mind in talking to some of my listeners? And
so I can only speak from the place where I'm coming from, right? From the place where I am. And I'm in a relationship. I'm in a relationship where we share a dwelling. So I can speak to that. I was looking online about dating during a pandemic specifically must be so hard. I was overwhelmed just trying to look that up. And when I saw the challenges that people are going through dating and trying to find new companionship during a pandemic where we're quarantined, and those of us who are going out, those of them, because I ain't going nowhere, who are going out, the risk, no, I don't. The risk they're taking, it made me, Naz, it made me more grateful for my relationship. So first, let's start there. Have an attitude of gratitude if you actually are in a relationship and you're not out there trying to meet someone new, because it's scary. It's scarier than catching a sexually transmitted disease, because you can protect yourself from that in dating. You can barely protect yourself from this virus. Yes, we can wear masks. We can wash our hands. We can do all of that. But in dating, I want to hold your hand. I want to touch you. There's that first kiss. Ooh, don't know. So when thinking about all of that, it made me more grateful. So first, be grateful for your loved one. Think about it, y'all. There's a lot of people that don't have what you have. And so while we're running around and we have cabin fever, and you may be sick and tired of looking at your loved one,
because you're locked in the house day after day. First, be grateful. And then while you have cabin fever, now, I said early in the pandemic, I had to check some folks because we were talking about being quarantined and home and the different things that we were doing during this quarantine. So I know my situation may be different than the next because I have colleagues that were talking about, oh, we're going to get the pool filled up. So you've got the pool. Okay. So, and then, you know, we're going to go up to our summer home and get that ready. Oh, so you're going up to your summer home. Ma'am, our quarantine is not the same. Okay. So while I say this cabin fever topic, and I want to say make some space. A lot of us are all working from home. So you're working from home, your loved one is working from home, or somebody isn't working because they're laid off. I want to talk about being quarantined and in that home together, finding space. I'm blessed. I have the opportunity to go into a room and close the door or do whatever to get some me time. You got to keep some me time, right? But what about that couple that's living in a studio? What about that couple that's in that one and they don't have that space? They can't go to that other room and close the door. Real talk, I know a lady, she used to go sit in her closet. And I was like, ma'am, this is not healthy. And she was like, I just can't look at them and I don't have that much space. So I've made me a space in the closet. It sounds, and at the time it was so far-fetched and we clowned on her and everything. Now I'm thinking, well, shit, she was on to something. Make you some space in the damn closet. But whatever you do, make you some space. You gotta maintain that space in the bathroom in the morning. Seriously, close the door, go in there, take some quiet time. Take that phone. You know, we used to take newspapers. We used to wonder why your father always taking a newspaper into the bathroom and why are you standing there so damn long? Because he was finding some space away from all of you. He was finding some space away from your mama. You never thought about that,
wow.
Right? It was like, go to the bathroom, come out. No, he was finding space. Find space. Stop me when I'm lying.
Wow.
Find space.
No,
and as
no,
you talk
no,
about
no,
it at the top of the
right.
show,
you're right.
You find space right. in the morning. You get up. You get up and you make space for yourself. Oh, and something else. Naz, I need your help here. Self-care. Self-care just because you home.
Say it again. Sorry, say it again. You got to say it.
I don't nobody want to look at you not looking and smelling good. Oh,
you
I ain't going
what?
To work.
Oh.
I work from home now. You ain't done your hair. You ain't done your hair since last March.
I would gladly,
well, go ahead.
You know, go into that. I would gladly. Fellas, and I'm, you know, I'm talking from my perspective as a man. Your woman, she don't want to just see you just eat, and not take care of yourself. One.
Sorry,
you just can't
I
do it.
That
I mean,
laugh.
Do it.
But speak on it.
Picking hot pocket crumbs off your stomach. No, she don't want to see that. That's not sexy. That's not cool.
It's not.
You know. You haven't changed your drawers in 3 days. Well, I ain't going nowhere. Yo, come on, man.
It
smells that resonate from you. You know, you got to clean. That's a whole other thing about care. That's going to be on another show. But however, right here, right now, I'm talking to you, fellas.
Really?
You listen to me. And I'm talking to those ladies, too, because you got some grown sons in the house. They couldn't go to college. They have to do something virally. You got to clean your ass. But anyway, back to our fellas. You must take care of yourself. Not only are you doing it for self-care, one, it'll make you feel better about yourself. Two, health benefits from it. During the COVID, you have to take care of yourself because you getting sick, you're putting that pressure on your spouse, on your family, because you're not taking care of yourself, which makes you acceptable to the virus. That's just real talk. That's just straight up knowledge right there. Three, your spouse, they want to be attracted to who you are. They want to say, you know what, my man's taking care of himself. He's making sure he's being strong for himself, for us, and for, you know, looking decent. And also clean yourself, groom. It's okay. I see a lot of guys not growing. This is a pet peeve of mine. I see guys growing these beards. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Groom those beards. They're looking raggedy, looking like they're stuck on a damn island.
But they're doing it because the women are encouraging it. They're doing it because the women are encouraging it, because all these beards are not sexy beards, and there's particular groups, and I just watch them, and people are just clicking like on these beards because these men have beards. Just because, to me, if your beard looks like something is crawling through it, if it's too long, it's not combed. Seriously, and then they beards are nasty.
Ew.
Like they breed germs and things, and so you have got to wash the beard. You in the shower and you washing your face, wash the beard. Seriously, it's disgusting. And
so
the same goes for women.
I gotta ask you that, Diamond. I mean, does that matter? I mean, I know you talk about the women, but I gotta get your perspective. Is that important to see your man taking care of himself? I mean, he doesn't have to be in the weight room all the time.
It's very important.
Okay.
It's not necessarily about being the best physically fit. You have to be your best version of yourself. That's something I'm struggling with. I'm trying to learn to be the best version of me. I'm trying to accept that I'm going to be 50 and that it's okay to not shop in the juniors department. I'm struggling. I don't want to leave the juniors department, right? But I'm trying to be the best version of myself. That means that I get up. I only want to shop in the juniors department. Nobody wants to shop in a women's department. Everything in a women's department looks like a curtain. It looks like a shower curtain. I'll tell you about that after the show, right? So you have got to be the best version of yourself. And yes, it matters. I want you to smell good. You know, fellas, y'all still thinking we're quarantined, we're all locked in. You can't go out necessarily and have sex with your side chick. You can't. I'm calling it what it is, right? This is unapologetic.
What?
It's the truth. Don't make me pull up the stats. Most men, a lot of men have side chicks. I'm not going to say most, a lot of. So now we're, because of this pandemic and we're quarantining, your wife or your woman is not just letting you, you can't use those same lines that you used to use. I was hanging out at the barbershop. No, barbershop, you can't go get your hair cut. It's closed, or it's limited time that you can spend in there. Or, you know, I was over, we were shooting ball. No, you're not, because your ass don't even want to get up and shower. So I know you wasn't out shooting basketball. You don't exercise, but you don't have those same excuses. So you're home, and you got to get your sex from your woman. You got to get your sex from your main woman, the one that you're quarantined with. She don't want to have sex with the less version of yourself. She wants the best version. She wants the you that smells good, that looks good, you know, that can lift her up. You just letting yourself go. You eating Twinkies. Now your arms don't have any, muscles in them anymore. I don't, you know, definition is the word I'm looking for. She don't want that, just like you don't want that. So keep yourself up for each other. Do a workout routine together. Hell, take a shower together. You know, for a while we couldn't get to the salons, but ladies, and I know some of us are natural, some of us are not, some of us are natural underneath our wigs and weaves, but do the best version of yourself. Get up every day. No lie, I get up every day. I work upstairs in my office. I don't leave this house. However, I get up, I make up the bed as though I was leaving this house. I work out during the same time as though I was leaving this house. Do I work out every day? No. Do I make that bed up every day? Absolutely. Do I wash my ass every day? Absolutely. Hair done, makeup on. I want to feel good about myself. When I turn on this camera and I have to have these meetings, I don't want people, I want them to see the same me or as close to the same me as they did in person. So, and I want my man to be attracted to me too, right? I want him to come in the house and look at me like, you still looking good. That shit gets tired. Nobody wants that. People are visual people. We're physical people. So don't miss me with all the, well, if they loved me, it wouldn't matter. Fuck out of here.
No,
it matters.
That matters. I totally co-sign that one. It does matter. And taking the time, if you're working, all right, and I'm going to say this because I've been also doing my research as well on this topic, and just talking with other people and getting their insight. If you're working, you know, stay focused on your work. Don't be up under your spouse's, you know, while they're working. Don't do that. That's not sexy. Let that person do the work, because it allows you that time and those moments to miss each other. You know, listen, babe. You know, mm-hmm. let's link up after we get off work. You still maintaining this schedule, fellas or women. If you don't got a job, you should be spending a majority of your time looking for a job. Let me tell you something, that's not cool in any relationship, because at the end of the day, you got the stress of financial issues going on. You can't be trying to snuggle up with your woman if you can't pay the bills of the light bill. You can't be doing that. You have to
focus on getting yourself better. I can't see you, the light is off, go away. But the other thing is, I'm going to play devil's advocate, though, Naz. For those like yourself and for me, keep your work day limited, right? So even if your loved one is in the house and they don't have a job or they go out to work, working from home, companies are getting so much more out of us because we're home. So we're checking emails. It's just easy. That during that time where you may have been commuting, you may be working. You forget that you're still working. The sun goes down so early, and next thing you know, it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So keep the workday limited. Remember, there's still a number of hours that you need to spend with your family and your loved ones. So yes, work, but keep it limited. I realized that over the past few months, for myself, that I was spending way too much time, but I didn't have a choice, right? I didn't have a choice considering what was going on, but you have to find balance. So if you are working and your spouse is not, they need to respect your work hours, but you need to respect them as well and know that there's a cutoff time, right? So maybe it's 6 o'clock at night. Maybe you are fortunate enough to be able to log out at 4:35. Quitting time is quitting time. Nonetheless, maintain a balance.
I agree. I'm with you on that, because I was thinking the same thing, and you know, I'm glad you said it, because I was actually about to allude to that, because you know, maintaining those hours, and it's okay. Let your supervisor know. Listen, or my work hours are from 9 to 5. You know, that's what it is. Period.
Don't say it like that.
You know,
wait a minute. Because if one of my employees come to me, would that come on? My work. Say it again.
Hold up. If they're getting paid 9 to 5, hold up. Listen, my work hours are 9 to 5. What's wrong with saying that? What's
okay.
Why
your work hours
why can't you say
are
that?
Now. Your work hours have been reduced. Okay.
What?
So whenever the hell you damn well please.
See,
because if you come to me with that tone and you banged on something 9 to 5, you got all day to go find you another job.
But again, that's a different type of career, because in your field, you know, you can modify the hours. In my field, we have contracts. You break that contract, then you're going to see the union. So it's a little different. You know, I can say that, listen, you know, my hour's 9 to 5. Or better yet, don't answer the email or the call after 5 o'clock. These are my hours.
Make sure you got a union. If you work for me, you are not protected by a union. You come to me with that type?
You know what?
But I'm very flexible.
Oh, how are you going to say you're flexible? And you just sitting there saying,
I'm very flexible because I ain't like the tone. I ain't like the way you approach me on that. I'll work 9 to 5.
Let me find out what type of supervisor you are.
Help me. You don't even work for me. And I took offense for that. You better watch your tone.
Your hours have been changed. What type of person are you?
Your hours have been officially changed. You talking to with that attitude. You have to. What? We're going to move past this because we're about to start arguing.
Let me find out what type of person you are.
I'm a very responsible person.
I'm calling HR.
I expect my team to be responsible. I am HR.
I expect my team to be responsible as well. She cut my hours. Retaliation. I'm calling HR, my EEO officer.
You ain't got no...
You, she ain't like your, I didn't like your tone, 9 to 5. No, you know, but
you
but
know
in all
what?
Seriousness, you have to maintain a balance.
Yeah.
But just be careful when you communicate with your employer as well as with your family. Find a reasonable balance. Find a reasonable balance and a way to deliver the message to your family and your employer. You know, there's some jobs you can just, this is my quitting time. Most jobs right now, you can't just quit. You know, it's the survival of the fittest. So when I have to evaluate because the company isn't bringing in as much financials as normal because of the pandemic, if I have to cut, I'm going to cut that person that came to me that says 5 o'clock I log off because you're not committed to doing anything extra, right? 5 o'clock I'm going, 9 o'clock you're here. So consider that when you're balancing. And for those of you that don't work or don't have that type of job, consider that when you're asking for more time. One thing to help you get to the end of what?
No. I hear what you're saying. No, I apologize, but you said something. The reason why I kind of allude to 9 to 5, I mean, I kind of want to keep going back and forth because I don't want to get fired by
office hours,
boss lady.
From 9 to 5.
It's a balance because it's also a mental wellness. You can overwork yourself, and like you alluded to, and I'm going to play devil's advocate and bring it back to what you said, finding balance in your relationship and finding balance not to be overworked and forget about your spouse. Because like you said, that you can sit there, be so ingrained into work, you forget about your spouse. So I understand the flexibility aspect of it. So we also have to understand there's also mental wellness that you have to deal with because you can actually overwork yourself and also overwork so much. And companies understand that they are taking advantage of people working from home. Well, you're home, so you can handle this. But at the other end, your spouse is like, yo, okay, I dig what you're doing. I know times are hard, but we got to work these extra hours. But what about me? And we have to, like you said, we have to find balance because if we don't find balance, our spouse and our relationship, you know, suffers. They basically suffer at that point. But I mean, I said that, you know, because I don't want you to think I'm a hard line on the 9 to 5. I said that because it's a fine mental wellness because you could do so much and just go hard 9 to 5, but just go. But you're like, you know what? I have to take a break. I have to stop. It was a long day.
Yeah. You have to stop, but it's a matter of communication. Everything boils down to communication. And with the pandemic and working extra hours and the stressors, a lot more drinking is going on. People are drinking on the job. We're home, so happy hour starts a little bit earlier, and this is statistically proven. People are drinking more.
Yeah.
So I.
Oh, sorry.
Did you applaud for drinking more? I am. I'm not going to necessarily say that I'm drinking while I'm working, but after 5. Okay, so here's a compromise. After 5 is my time, right? So while I may still be working, I may be working with a cocktail. And we have to, though, be careful that that doesn't become a habit, that every day I'm home, I'll just walk downstairs and pour a glass of wine, right? Not me necessarily, but in general, too much alcohol, or you're just home. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I've heard that more times during the pandemic than ever, and people are running out to the liquor stores. I remember in Jersey when we were wondering what was going to be shut down due to the restrictions for the pandemic, there was a mass exodus of people leaving their homes to go to the liquor store. Like, we stocked up, not just me, but so many people. We didn't know if the liquor store was going to be wrapped, be closed. So you want to, though, beware of substance abuse while you're home because that becomes unhealthy. While it's nice to be able to enjoy a cocktail with our loved ones, be careful that y'all don't turn into too drunk. So that's important to me as well. You know.
Right. Now, you know, we got to talk about the other thing, putting that personal, intimate time in. You have to. You can't forget about your spouse. I know you don't want to see him every day. You don't need him, you know, or her just jumping on you all the time. But you gotta put that work in. You gotta put that work in.
And, are you talking about,
you know,
sex?
Your person.
Are you talking about
intimate
sex?
Time.
Intimate
No, hold up. No, it's not always sex. It's not always sex. Sometimes intimate time.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it can lead into
sex.
Really, you know, and I had. My God, what you gonna do? Let me see.
Hey.
All right.
Ow. Oh, sorry. All right, so personal intimate time versus sex.
No, it's both. It's a combination. It's a combination,
okay.
Because the intimacy allows you to connect with them on a mental level, talk about their day, talk about their interests, things we can do, maybe be creative in the COVID pandemic situation. And if it leads mm-hmm. into it, so be it. It just makes it a little bit more special. You know, you have to provide that. And I've learned that.
Amazing. But so there's a balance. There's intimate time, right? I'm talking about sex. Sorry. But the sex, people are stressed out. So men, I'm speaking specifically to, I got to speak to the men and women in our age group, because we just want to get it in. We've grown. We're not too much worried about bills and things anymore. We're at a place where sex is supposed to just, where we don't want those added stressors. The kids are grown, right? We've got different priorities. We're a little bit more relaxed in life. I'm comfortable with my body. But we're tired. We're tired still. Don't expect for your woman to do all of the things that you see in your videos or in your imagination or on social media, but be grateful. This is twofold and I'm struggling with what I'm trying to say. Men, don't count on it being porn star sex all the time, okay? Just don't. Women, don't come there just, he laid on top of me and did his business. Color Purple style either. You gotta find a balance.
Did you say Color Purple?
That's a You don't know that scene from Color Purple when Mr.
What?
How'd it happen? I just laid there. You don't know that scene. I'm gonna put it on Unconcealed. Yes, I just laid. Mr. just crawled on top of me and I just laid there while he do his business.
Ew.
I'm going to put it on Unconcealed Talk Show page on Facebook. So don't just lay there while Mr. does his business. He's still tripping. Ladies, don't just lay there while Mr. does his business. But fellas, I'm laughing because Naz is Googling right now. He just laid there. I just lay there while he do his business and Color Purple.
Oh, we got to have a part two on this, definitely, about the relationship, because there's some things I need to understand.
Well, right, but it comes down to balance. You got to find, as a couple, and in order to maintain, it's all about balance and respect, right? So at the top, the point of this whole crazy-ass conversation was how to maintain a healthy relationship during a pandemic. And the bottom line is respect, compromise, cleanliness, and balance. And it still comes down to basically all of it is respect and balance. Respect that I don't want to look at you looking a hot-ass mess, right? Respect that I have a job. Respect, you know, so what that's, it all comes down to how to maintain a healthy relationship during a quarantine, during a pandemic is respect and balance. What do you think, Naz?
No, I agree. You know, as we come to the tail end of the show, I agree with you. I believe, just to kind of tie this all up from my perspective, is that you got to have balance, like Diamond D said. You have to have communication, and you have to develop a schedule. Just develop a schedule where she has her time, you have your time. Take care of your personal self. Take care of business. Take care of your personal self, whether it's spiritual or physical. If you got to go to doctors, maintain your schedule. Respect. Respect, respect, respect. I can't even say that. Respect the other person and what they do. If your spouse or your whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, if they want me time, damn it, give it to them. Give them their me time because they need that because it's going to help you guys. And have a dialogue conversation. And lastly, don't forget about loving that other person. Loving them, you know, if you may not be in love, but show a level of compassion and understanding for them, you know. And I believe you'll be okay. That's just part of the steps. So we're at this part.
It is.
Again, we're at this part of the show where I want to say, first of all, thank you to all those who listen to the show. I want to definitely acknowledge Rebirth PR and Media with Simone Higabon. I want to acknowledge Another Perspective with Lucy Bones out of Minneapolis. I want to give a shout out to Voices of Virtue, Dee Richard out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Can't forget about another show, Chronicles of a Champion with Toshiba LeBlanc, and Secure the Bag out of Texas and Louisiana, Dutchess and Tenet. They are followers as well. They're also part of the network. We want to say we love you guys. But what I would like to do, Diamond, if you don't mind, this is something we're going to do on every show. We're going to have our own personal reflection. And it's different from our co-hosts. It's just different. It could be about the topic, just something that you want to make sure you leave your personal stamp on when our listeners listen to the show.
All right, everybody. So once again, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you to everyone. I just want to leave with you for Black History Month. This little saying right here, knowing the past opens the door to the future, right? Knowing the past opens the door to the future. It's important for us to continue to celebrate Black History Month. It's important for us to continue to educate our young people. It's important for us to share our successes with our friends that are not Black, with people who don't know, because knowing the past opens the doors to the future. It's inspiring just to look up and learn about all of the successes that we've contributed. And I spoke earlier about a first. We're still making first. We still have the opportunity to create history. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to not just learn about the past, but be a part of the future. Let's continue to make history, everybody.
I love it. I love it.
Mr.
I love it.
Right.
Well, for me, my reflective moment is personal. It's sometimes we have to open our viewpoints, open up our mind, understand transparency is not necessarily a bad thing. Transparency allows you to share who you are with the world, allows you to share your family, because it takes a village to raise our kids out here. We have to share. Transparency allows you to take that weight and that burden off of you. It allows you to release. It allows you to not carry the weight of the world by yourself because you're not alone. You'd be surprised how many people are out here that share the same things you go through with me. And if we all can, as people, be transparent to help one another, then we will all be blessed with a better world. That's my reflection.
Absolutely.
So,
well, like
with that being said, it's that time.
It's that time.
Here it is. Yes, yes, all yes. Right. Again, thank you. All right, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. Love you, man.
You're listening
to one of New York's top syndicated shows, The Unconcealed Talk Show, featuring Mr. Nass and Diamond D.